Mike Nock, my guest in the studio tonight. He spent 25 years in the US working with many of the world's top musicians, such as Coleman Hawkins, Yusuf Lateef, Dionne Warwick, and Michael Brecker. He was a founding member of the 1970s jazz rock group, The Fourth Way, which in itself is being rediscovered today. And he has a large catalogue of critically acclaimed international recordings as a soloist, duo, trio, and larger ensembles. He's also an accomplished composer of jazz and classical music. It's been nearly 7 years since you were last in this chair, Mike.
Wow.
Mike Nock, welcome back to Now's the Time.
Thanks.
7 years. And of course, my other guest in the studio tonight is Mark Ginsberg, and he's joining Mike tonight to chat about a brand new venue, jazz venue here in Chatswood, which is great news. You recently turned 70 years of age.
Gee, you have to keep telling me that.
A big birthday bash at the Sound Lounge, of course, in Sydney.
The birthdays went on for 3 months. It was quite literally all over the place.
I'd imagine they would have.
It was quite an interesting period.
Yes.
It was the busiest period I've ever had in my life, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
You certainly show no signs of letting up. You know, you released this album, Accumulation of Subtleties, which we just heard, and that was released to critical acclaim. What have you been up to so far in 2010? You said you've been busy.
Well, most of my time is actually spent writing music. So we're talking about 2010. Well, this has been around, we're in March now, aren't we? Yeah, I'm writing music, actually. I've got a few projects, and I did a thing with my new quintet. I debuted that at the Sound Lounge the other night, a couple of weeks ago. Was it last week or something? And that went really, really well. It's my trio plus a young saxophone player, Carl Laskowski, and a young trumpet player, Ken Allers. Brilliant player. Well, he tells me tonight that he's in my con group too. He tells me that he's very possibly going to Berlin next semester. So, oh well. But I mean, he's one of those musicians that's He's going to do well.
Means finding another trumpet player to keep the quintet together.
All kinds of things. Anyway, but that's the way it goes, and that's the best music. He hasn't gone yet, but I mean, no. You know, it depends on a few things. But
well, Phil Slater performed brilliantly with you in Wangaratta.
Oh, well, Phil's been playing with me for years, years and years. Ken is the first person to really come along that's able to step into his shoes and takes it somewhere else in the same time, you know.
What would you say is driving you at this stage of your career, Mike? I mean, where do you derive your energy from?
Maybe a realization that there's not a lot of time left. I mean, seriously, however much time there is left, I think you get to a certain stage in your life where you just becomes important. You know, like, this is what I want to do. Hey, and just now's the time. Charlie Parker said it, but now is the time.
Do you feel as though you haven't been prolific enough with your compositions?
Prolific, I don't think is the word, but of course there's always something that you want to do that's kind of a bit better. You know, I've got goals just like anyone else. I mean, I feel my best work is yet to come, so you keep looking for it. Either that or get off it entirely.
In the 1980s, of course, you hosted your own TV series, Knock on Jazz, I think it was called, on the ABC. In more recent times, though, indeed, you were a subject of a documentary yourself, I think in New Zealand, a jazz film. Is that correct?
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't been fortunate enough to see that as yet, but I was wondering what it was like to have the highlights of your career put on screen for everyone to see. How does that actually feel?
Well, actually, part of that process, which just happened last year for my 70th, they released a biography of me, which includes a DVD of the film, which was done 15 years previously. It's an interesting process to actually, especially when reading about it, because that gets into it much more in depth. You know, the DVD is always good, you know. But matter of fact, on the DVD, there was a young Phil Slater. You know, he was in my band at the time. You know, which is kind of interesting. But the book is really interesting from that perspective of actually seeing your life from someone else's perspective. You know, it really is. It's like, well, okay, well, you end up thinking, well, that's the way they see it.
Do you learn something about yourself that maybe?
Well, I don't know that you do and you don't. I mean, it's all part of the process of learning. You know, it's interesting. I don't know whether I've learned anything. I mean, you know, I've learned lots of things, but, you know, but whether it's anything of use to me, I don't know, you know. I mean, you know, it's like you see yourself through someone else's eyes to a certain extent, and that's always interesting, you know. I mean, hopefully the thing is one gets out of this, you can either go two ways. Either you can really bolster your ego, or it can make you realize that, hey, you're just another person along with everyone else, and everyone's got a story to tell, And that's the thing that I'm finding more as I get older, that I feel more and more, more and more part of something that's much bigger than me. When you're younger, you tend to want to kind of say, here I am, and, listen to me,
A
and
new
all that
sense
stuff.
of humility.
I suppose it's humility, but it's not a kind of humility that says I'm no good or anything like
No.
that. It's definitely a sense of worth, personal worth, but definitely also, so what?
Part of a bigger community and part of something much, much bigger than just what's happening around you.
Absolutely. So what the strength in that is that it can help you to get off your trip and just get into what you do. Get off, your awareness of yourself, and just do what you do. And I think that's what's happening with my composing these days. I'm really just kind of going for it. It's quite interesting. It's like we go through different periods in our life, and what I'm going through at the moment, actually, I don't want to talk too long about all this stuff, but it's about finding yourself. And sometimes finding yourself is not, like it's not being hip or anything like that. It's coming back to the roots of why I'm actually doing what I do. And I'm coming back to the way that I used to play. And I saw this wonderful pianist the other day.
So Gwilym
Yeah,
Simcock.
fantastic pianist. And the thing that blew my mind about his playing, I mean, apart from everything, he's just incredible. But he never once opened his eyes. And he was doing the most incredible things on the piano, inside the piano, anything you can imagine, but he never opened his eyes. So I've started playing the piano with my eyes shut. And it's just, I mean, I kind of did that before, but now I'm really forcing myself to do it. Just, hey, close your eyes and just let go and just trust. And man, it's bringing up all the stuff that used to, what it used to be like when I first started playing, because I didn't know what I was doing then. And when I close my eyes, I don't even try to know what I'm doing. I just allow it. So it's kind of like a coming back to a full circle, except that of course I've done a lot of study since then and had done a lot of playing. So it's interesting how the circle comes around in one's life,
Intuition informed by
Yeah,
experience.
all that.
Also with Mark this evening, I'm chatting with Mark Ginsberg. Mark, welcome back to Now's the Time. Tell us about VJs. It's a new project for the North Shore Emmanuel Temple.
North Shore Temple Emmanuel, yes. We've been lacking venues on the North Shore. And it's quite coincidental, actually, that a number of venues seem to have been popping up over the past few months. Perhaps I've come to notice it more, but I've always had this feeling that people live on the North Shore, they don't get a chance to see as much as they should, perhaps because they're tucked in their suburban residential environment and it's hard to get out to Camperdown or Surry Hills or wherever it is. And I think bringing some fantastic musicians to the North Shore, giving people the opportunity to hear them is very important. So this, together with the fact that we've just done some renovations at the North Shore Temple Emmanuel in Chatswood Avenue here in Chatswood, it's given us the opportunity to put a grand piano in, a beautiful stage, lighting, a sound system, and turn what was, sort of a function room into what can be a really nice venue. And we've done a few things there since the renovations, and it's been incredibly successful. And I really want to feature Sydney's and Australia's finest players there. I've done a fair amount of playing there. Judy Campbell's done a fair amount of playing there. We've put on all sorts of things, but we haven't brought the depth and wealth of Sydney's offerings to that.
We play it like we see it. We've been playing quite a while with the trio, and it really depends on, I hate to say it, the vibe. Like we may play some standards. We will play some standards, I'm pretty sure. We might play some original music. I mean, it's a creative trio. It really is, in the best sense of the word. And we try to keep it spontaneous. But again, I mean, there'll be probably a lot of the music that's on our CD. That's what we play, but we're always looking for new things too, and we've got a big repertoire of music we've been playing together for a long time,
Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'd imagine you're one of the few jazz musicians in this country who can genuinely choose your work depending upon your preference at
Well, that sounds good. I'm
the
not so sure that's accurate though.
time. Given that's my perception, how would you describe your musical ethos?
My musical ethos. I mean, I want to communicate. That's why I play music. That's is a real urge and wish to communicate to people, to get my story out there. And just that's the whole thing, that connectedness. So whatever that takes, but I won't do it. I've got my, how shall I say it? I've got my standards. You know, in other words, it has to be on my terms. You know, in other words, I can't just, you know, I'll play anything in terms of, like, I play genre wise, you know, feeling wise, everything like that. But it's something that it's an interesting thing, that whole business of compromise. I don't see compromise as being a dirty word, but again, a lot of people do. But again, it's not what you, but how you do it, you know. And to me, that's actually the artistic struggle to me, to find out a way to communicate better. If that's compromise, then I compromise. But that's actually what it is. So maybe compromise has different connotations, different meanings. To me, I try to communicate. I really strive to communicate, to learn how to communicate my music. I never get called to do anything. Basically, I hardly ever get called to do anything but my own music. So I guess I'm very fortunate in that regard. It's like years ago, when I first went to San Francisco, at one point, I decided to stop playing commercial work. And you know what blew my mind? I didn't make any less money. I didn't do anything. All I meant, I just wasn't playing any commercial work anymore. Nothing else changed. Well, that was a revelation to me.
And you've been like that ever
Pretty
since?
Pretty much, yeah.
There seems to be a special rapport happening in your current trio. You mentioned briefly before the interaction, the empathy. The Waples brothers, Ben on bass, James on drums. What is the balance of direction and freedom when it comes to them interpreting your original music?
Well, it's a three-way street. Of course, it's my music, but I mean, we are a group. We are a group. And that's the thing. It's like the group is only as good as its weakest link at any point. So it's a family. It is a family.
Sometimes I get the feel with some piano players may direct a little more than, you know, others.
That's true. Yeah, but I mean, in certain situations I may, but I mean, with these guys, we've been playing together for a while. I respect their musical nous, and it's a real give and take. They'll suggest things about the way to play things or all this stuff, and yeah, vice versa. I mean, it's about making a music, a group music, and everyone contributes. And sure, I mean, in some ways, there's a little bit of, I mean, I call the general tenor of the music, the tunes and certain things. I lead it in that sense. But when we're actually on stage playing, it's pretty democratic. I'd say it's one of the rare cases that you can find true democracy in action.
Having been involved with education at the Sydney Conservatorium for many years, you've always been a great judge of talent. What performances around town have you been particularly impressed with lately?
Gee, that's a good question. I mean, I can't think of any that I haven't been with. That's the interesting thing about it. I have to really start thinking now. You've kind of caught me, but I know I've been really turned on to so much music I've heard recently.
That's a good sign.
Well, it is,
for the local scene.
Oh yeah, I think the standard of local music's getting up all the time. You know, we were talking about this a moment ago. You know, like, I mean, the thing about writing music, it's easy enough just to say, oh, okay, you know, like, I'm a constant tinkerer, and many friends and people have told me, why don't you just leave it alone? You know, just, you know, it's fine the way it is, and often it is fine the way it is, but not for me. You know, it's like I see a way to make the stuff or see it a little bit different. I mean, but I'm not alone in this. I could feel quite bad about that, but a lot of prose writers are the same. Some of the best writers in the world are like this. They'll spend ridiculous amounts of time over the placement of a word in a sentence or something.
That's right. They'll go back to it 2 or 3 years down
All
the track.
And... Well, Annie Proulx, one of my favorite short story writers, she said something about she often rewrites short stories up to like 50 times. You know, I mean, that's quite amazing.
Yes.
But I can relate to it, because on the computer nowadays, which I use the computer, they have the versions. And it blows my mind, the versions I get up to. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what?
John Buchanan, who also presents a blues and jazz show, I think he is originally from New Zealand. He told me that you were born in a town near Hamilton, which has a...
Narrawahia.
Yes,
but I wasn't.
And I wasn't
going to
try and pronounce that, but it means meeting of the fogs. Is that correct?
No, it means meeting of the waters.
Meeting of the waters.
And there's a CD of the same name, Mike Nock Project, Meeting of the Waters. And actually, I wasn't born in Narrawahia. I was actually born in Christchurch.
Oh.
I'm a Quake boy.
Mike, thanks very much for joining us in the studio tonight. It's been a pleasure chatting with you again.
My pleasure.